Now, hear the word of the Lord in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, familiar words to us in this season. Matthew writes and says, "Now, after Jesus was born in," what's that word? Bethlehem. Say it with me. Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all of the chief priests, scribes, and the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In," say that word again, "Bethlehem, in Bethlehem. For this is what has been written by the prophet. And you," say it again, "Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Quoting out of Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, taking pieces of those verses and weaving them together to make verse number 6. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. You'll probably see it on television late tonight, early tomorrow, Manger Square. People singing, having worship. If you've ever been to Bethlehem, you'll never forget it. You remember that city, that place just south of Jerusalem, where prophecy had said Jesus would be born. But there was a lot of other things happened in Bethlehem. David was born in Bethlehem. You remember that great love story, Ruth and Boaz? Bethlehem. That was the place. Rachel, she's buried there in Bethlehem. Ibzan, buried in Bethlehem. Say, who in the world is that, Pastor? Go look him up. Ibzan. Bethlehem. The word is two words put together. The front end of the word is Beth, B-E-T-H. Means house, like Bethel, Bethel. Beth is house. El on the end is Elohim, it is God. Bethel is the house of God. There was a church where I'm from that they had a split. It was Bethel Baptist Church. They got mad and went down the road and started the new Bethel Baptist Church. So there was the house of God, then there was the new house of God. Well, that's the way Baptists do it sometimes, I'm afraid. Beth, house, El, God. In our text, Bethlehem is Beth, house. Lehem is bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. One of the sermons that I preach more than anything else when I'm on the road encouraging preachers is out of 2 Samuel, where David is at the end of his life. And he's up in the cave of Adullam. And he says, "I really wish I had a drink of water from the well by the gate at Bethlehem." That's his hometown. He wasn't thirsty. If a king's thirsty, he gets water. But three of the guys heard it and they got together and said, "Let's go." And they snuck through the line of the Philistines, went down to Bethlehem, got some kind of receptacle and got that water. Brought it back to him. 1997, three guys went to my hometown and brought me a drink of water from my Bethlehem, from my hometown, to encourage me. Well, that's the way they did David. There's a lot of great things happened at Bethlehem. But I just want to give us four simple reminders tonight. When you think of Bethlehem, out of verse number 6, listen to it one more time. Sharon, you want to pop that verse back up there, verse 6 of Matthew 2. Quoting out of Micah chapter 5, weaving verses together. It's not just a transliteration of Micah 5:2, but it's mostly 5:2, but it's got some 5:5 and 5:4 that's in it as they put it together. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people. What does Bethlehem teach us? Four truths from Bethlehem this Christmas Eve. Number one, Bethlehem teaches us that God keeps his promises. 700 years before Jesus, Micah said, in Bethlehem, that's where he'll be born. 700 years. And he was right on the money. Why? Because the Word of God is divinely inspired. It's there. It's fundamental. Let me tell you, friend, when God said that in Micah 5, you could count on it, and it was coming. And I'm here to tell you tonight, when you find the promises of God, they are precious and they are magnificent, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. There are all kinds of promises. I challenge you in 2018 to go through your Bible and just mark the promises of God, the promises of God, the promises of God, and nail them down and look at them and stand on them in the coming year. He is good. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Oh, Bethlehem teaches us that God keeps his promises. 700 years. I'm coming, Micah said, with him to Bethlehem. Thank God for the promises. Not only he promised he's coming to Bethlehem, he promised he's coming to the Mount of Olives with his second coming. He's coming again. And just as sure as he made the first promise, he will keep the second. He will come again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Precious, magnificent promises. But number two, not only does Bethlehem teach us that God keeps his promises, secondly, Bethlehem teaches us that God uses little things. Notice in the text, Bethlehem, you're by no means least among the leaders. Well, Bethlehem was small. It was little. It was in the byway. It wasn't a big deal. You'd think Jesus would be born in Jerusalem or Rome. Now, wouldn't that have been cool? Just move right in there. Tell Caesar, move over, big boy. You'd think that if God was coming, he'd find some preeminent place like Jerusalem or Rome. Go to Caesarea by the sea. But no, he took a tiny little place. I'm here to tell you, friends, Bethlehem teaches us that God uses little things. Sometimes you may think that you are insignificant, but you are not insignificant. Did you hear that video? If you were in morning church today, on day one, God made day two. He made day three. It was good. It was good. It was good. But when he got to man, he said, it was very good. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. God didn't make a mistake in whatever you're walking through today. In God's economy, small things become great. The last shall be first. Peter was known as a little stone, and then God said, I'm going to make you a mighty rock. That's what God wants to do with your life. Bethlehem should teach you this Christmas that there are no insignificant people. God wants to raise you up, use you with his might, not yours. Bethlehem teaches us that God keeps his promises. It teaches us, number two, that God uses little things. Number three, Bethlehem teaches us that God is in charge. Notice in verse number six, for out of you shall come forth a ruler. The government's going to be upon his shoulders. Did you know that Washington is really not in charge of America? Did you know Tallahassee's not really in charge of Florida? The courthouse downtown's really not in charge of Pensacola. He assigns those leaders varied things that they do, but let me tell you, the government rests on the shoulders of Jesus. While he puts one down, he raises another up. He said, well, boy, it's a mess, all that. Yeah, it's been a mess since time started. Because man gets his nose bent out of shape and in the business it ought not be in. Rather than bowing before holy God, he is the ruler. And God is working his way, as I told you in Romans 8:28, just a few short Sundays ago, that God causes. God causes all things to work together for good for those that love God and called according to his purpose. I'm standing right down here this morning after church. One of the sweet girls that grew up with my daughter in this church came walking by. I said, hey. She was home. She lives out west. Lives in the same city where you live. From Arkansas. I said, hey, did I put my arm around her? I said, it's good to see you. And her countenance fell. I said, how are you? And she said, okay. I said, don't lie to the pastor. I mean, I don't even have the gift of discernment, but I could pick that up, all right? I knew there was something of a broken heart that was there. Some of you are in this room on Christmas, and it's not all joy. There's a broken heart here. There's a broken family. There's a broken body. There's a broken economy. There's a broken relationship. Let me tell you, Bethlehem teaches us God is in charge, and he causes all of those things to weave together for good for those that will love him and are called according to his purpose. If you trust him, I'm telling you, this Christmas, God will weave that together and make it good. Make it good. Make it good. He is the ruler. Bethlehem teaches us God keeps his promises. God uses little things. God's in charge. But notice the last part of verse 6. Coming out of Micah, who will shepherd my people, Israel. Not only does God keep his promise, not only does he use little things, and not only is God in charge, I'm here to tell you that God loves us supremely. He is the shepherd of our soul. He gathers us together as the shepherd. Hallelujah for the shepherd. And he watches after his flock. Not only does he shepherd us, he saves us. Some of you sit in this room and you've never been saved today. I had one of the most glorious experiences this morning after church when an elderly gentleman walked down and put his arms around me and looked me in the eye and tears flushing down his cheeks. He held me back. He said, Pastor, I want to thank you for leading me to Jesus 25 years ago. My Christmas was made. I'm here to tell you, it was just the finest thing I'd heard all morning. Because that's the business that we're in. He loves you supremely. God sent his son to die for you. And God would save you if you'd but ask him. If you'd invite him, you say, preacher, I want to. Then when this service is over, I want you to go out there in the foyer. There's some tables. They're called Next Step Tables. Just walk up to one of those. Some of our men and ladies will be out there. And they'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you about how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hey, boys and girls, while some others are at those tables, all of you that helped me with the offering, I've got a small gift for you right out at the big Christmas tree. So if you go by there, I got a little gift I want to give you. You help me, and I want to help you. So you go by there, and you got to be in the fifth grade and under to get one. God loves us supremely. He'll save us. He'll shepherd us. I read this week of a gentleman that had decided on Christmas Eve he was going to go stand on the corner and preach out the gospel. Took his wife and his little 12-year-old girl. And he was just standing there as people walked by, and he'd read the Bible and he'd say, God loves you, and for this today is born for you in the city of David a Savior. And he just continued to give out the gospel, and some man stopped, kind of like the atheist that reported on my Twitter account this week. Gave me a word back when I talked about the Savior. She said, well, you can believe that if you want to. And I responded back, I do want to. I want to. And not only I want to, I do. And so that man was preaching, and a guy came by and made fun of him. The word he used was, Oh, it's just a dream. You're just preaching, that's just a dream. About this God and Jesus and heaven, that's just a dream. And as the man walked away, the little 12-year-old girl stepped up and said, "Sir, that's my daddy. 5 years ago, before he came to Jesus, we didn't have anything in our house because my daddy used all of it for alcohol. And that's my mama standing right there, and he used to beat her. He was mean. He didn't take care of us. But now he's come to Jesus, and Jesus has changed his life." And that little girl looked at him and said, "If it's a dream, please, please, don't wake him up. Don't wake him up." Amen. Friend, it's not a dream. It's reality. Jesus saves and changes and shepherds us and leads us right through. Bethlehem reminds us of that, that God loves us supremely. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He keeps His promises. He uses little things like you and like me. God is in charge. Bethlehem teaches us that. And God loves us supremely. He loves you. And that's why Jesus came, was to give His life for you.